He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. The first thing I noticed, Barry, is our number one ranked stock in the app is one of the best performers of the day. It's breaking out again, and it's been sitting at the top, number one, for several weeks now, which is very unusual. What is it? You're going to have to download the app to find that out. Go to beststocksnowapp.com. We are having a very mixed market today, and really one stock is impacting the Dow, and that would be Boeing. Boeing is down almost 9%, 8% right now, and that has got the Dow down 139, although it was down about 190 not too long ago. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is exploding to the upside. It's up 148 points. That's a 1% move by the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ has obviously started off the year with some profit-taking, but it's roaring today. The Russell 2000 is down 1%. That's the small caps. They got a little overheated in December. The Russell sits at 1948. The S&P 500 is up 19, closing in on a new all-time high. The Russell or the S&P is at 4,716 right now. Crude oil, man, what a hit there, down 345 per barrel, clear down to 70.36. The Saudi Arabia is having a fire sale, and the 10-year is down 3 basis points to 4.01% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We're off to a good start in the market today. If you take out one stock, okay, unfortunately that one stock happens to be a pretty sizable member of both the S&P 500, but mostly the Dow. And that's why you have the Dow down today. Boeing, in another incident, 737 MAX, where the panel blew out. I think it was over Oregon or Washington, headed for Oakland. Luckily, nobody was sitting there where the panel blew out. But, you know, that was a plane that was, from my understanding, delivered fairly recently to Alaska Airlines. And so what do? I mean, they've grounded 737s all across the globe, and Boeing's got another crisis to deal with. And that's why you're seeing a drop in the Dow today.
And we just, I mean, it was just like middle of last week where we were discussing Boeing, right? And you know, we were talking about their one, you know, they've got a lot of headline risk, and they're one incident away, right, from where we sit at the moment.
Yes.
There's a lot of... a lot of moving parts in one of those airplanes, and
yeah.
I guess good news is they found, apparently I saw where they found the panel that blew off.
Wow.
I don't know what kind of condition that panel is.
Some guy's backyard?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure where they found it. But maybe that'll tell them something about what the issue was, but certainly not... you know, not ideal. I can only imagine if that panel was, I don't know where it occurred in the plane, but if it occurred, you know, in towards the front of the plane, in front of the wing, right, you could potentially have that panel blow off and, you know, ding an engine, ding a wing.
All the first class clients, passengers could be sucked right out of
so
them. That's why I always sit on the aisle if I can. But you know what? Look, I mean, it's not good. I mean, it could be an isolated incident. It could be sabotage. Who knows? A faulty part. But Spirit AeroSystems is the other one that's getting clobbered here today because they're involved in that. Now, we finished the week last week on a positive note after, you know, some pretty heavy profit taking to begin the year. especially in the overpriced, overbought areas of the market. And we saw a little bit of the air come out of the tires last week. The NASDAQ was down about 3.5% to begin the year. We haven't seen a 3.5% sell-off in the NASDAQ in quite some time. We were starting to believe that it's all it does is go up. Well, it is going up today, so maybe that little sell-off is over. I don't think so, however. And here's why. When I look at the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500, it's still too rich. We're still at 20.4. That's where we ended the week. And I think it belongs more in the 18.4, 18 point somewhere in that area. So that would still take a pretty healthy correction to get down to that level, unless we get a huge earnings surprise to the upside and the E part of the P.E. equation moves up, which would bring the forward P.E. down. But that's kind of hard to imagine a big up quarter here, just, you know, that really takes the earnings estimates higher. But we did end the week on a high note.
Yeah, and we get CPI later this week, I think on Thursday. We get PPI on Friday, so we'll have some more inflation data to kind of roll through. That will certainly impact interest
and
rates
don't
and what
forget,
that P-E ratio is.
It's the P week. It's the price. It's the E week. It is earnings season. On Friday, we're going to get pretty much the unofficial kickoff to earnings season with the big banks reporting in. So here we go again, another earnings season. I will say that the estimates for this quarter have been drifting downwards. You know, I'll go back maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, we were looking for 6.4% growth for the fourth quarter, which ended a week ago, versus the same fourth quarter of last year. Instead, it's looking more like, at least the analyst expectations are more in the 1.8% area now instead of 6.4. So that's a pretty sizable haircut that the estimates have taken. I think maybe they've overshot a little bit on the downside, and I think we have the potential to beat and see that number go higher, but I don't see it going higher enough to bring the forward P.E. ratio down. You know, this is a surprising, I haven't had a stock ranked number one for as long in recent memory as I've had Arista Networks, A-N-E-T, which is a $76 billion company. And it's been, I wasn't going to give the name out, but I just did. Well, oh well. It is breaking out today again to new all-time highs. We own it. But, hey, the beststocksnowapp.com is doing its job. It's identifying one of the best stocks in the entire market.
Well, and look what it does, right? In terms of what its business is, right? It's, you know, it helps, software side for networking and you know, data centers, which
that's all AI.
Yeah, when you need those, you need those data centers for AI, and it's a very important piece of that. It's no different than the picks and shovels of NVIDIA chips or any of that kind of
stuff. And you might say, well, this thing's got to be really expensive and overblown. Well, I'm just looking at the app. I update those valuations valuations on a continual basis. I show it with over 92% upside potential. Now, that doesn't count today's 5% rise in the stock, but it was still on my buy list, and it has been for the last maybe 2 months or so. It's crazy stock. We own it in our ultra growth portfolio. Well, it's going to be a busy week. It's going to be a full week with a lot going on, coming down on the economy. And, of course, earnings season, there's a massive retail conference down in Orlando, which is an annual get-together of all the big retailers. There's a lot of news coming out of that today. And there's a big conference that goes on every year in the Bay Area, the J.P. Morgan Health, biotech, drug, pharmaceutical conference, and there's a lot of action taking place. That's going to be another hot spot for mergers and acquisitions. These big drug companies trying to fill their pipelines, trying to put candidates in their pipelines, And a lot of times it's easier to hire a buyout a company that has some decent candidates in the pipeline. One of the big topics at this year's big conference, J.P. Morgan conference, is going to be the weight loss drugs. They're in the news here again today. We begin this Monday with the forward P.E. of the S&P 500 sitting at 20.4. That's just a little bit on the rich side. Now, when we come back, there's a lot taking place in the biotech and drug sector today. We'll take a look at who's on tap this week to report earnings. Another busy week, another active, not passive week at the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Talk Show. Well, one item of risk that we can scratch off the list for now is a government shutdown, as they did reach a bipartisan spending deal to avert a government shutdown. Earnings this week, okay, here we go. It's today, commercial metals, okay, not one that's really going to impact the market that much. Tomorrow we'll get Tilray. Another one that has been a disaster. It should not impact the market whatsoever. And then on Wednesday, we get KB Homes. The home builders continue to do very, very well. On Thursday, we get Infosys out of India. But Friday's the big day. We're going to call that the official start, the kickoff to this quarter's earnings season, when we get Citigroup, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, the Bank of New York Mellon, BlackRock, United Healthcare, and Delta Airlines. So that's big day on Friday. And the banks have been doing really well because they've been on the receiving end. You know, they're in that low P.E. tranche of the market. And there was definitely a lot of money last week leaving higher P.E. Gushing into lower P.E. stocks. That seems to be a trend here that I think is probably going to continue in 2024. And I've been saying, you know, if you don't have any exposure to value funds in your 401k because you've been riding the growth wave, small cap value, mid cap value would be a couple of different asset classes I'd be looking at here. In 2024. Okay, the MedTech Conference, J.P. Morgan. That's every year, this time of year in San Francisco. It's a very big conference. There will be a lot of different things discussed this year. Spotlight on biotech M&A, which is hot and heavy right now. The obesity frenzy. And those companies down the line that are helping create drugs through artificial intelligence. There are several of those, like Schrodinger, Recursion Pharma, AbC. There's several that are in that AI space. And they're using NVIDIA chips also help try to come up with those drugs. So those NVIDIA high-speed chips have a lot of use in AI. AI comes into play in a lot of different areas besides just the artificial or the, coming up with writing a song and things like that. And speaking of NVIDIA, that's one of the reasons why the NASDAQ is up so much today. NVIDIA is breaking out right now to a new all-time high. Why? Because they're ramping up. I mean, they came up with a chip that complies with the rules against, sending some of our high tech to China. So they came up with a workaround, And now that chip is in mass production, Barry, so that's going to really help NVIDIA, boost NVIDIA. They're going to report on February the 22nd. They're always towards the end of earnings season. And NVIDIA today is up 4.5% on 3 times normal volume. The last time I checked NVIDIA, my valuation just about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I had 80% upside potential. So it still fits my value criteria, even though the forward PE ratio on NVIDIA right now is at about 25 or 26. But, you know, given all that NVIDIA, the massive market share that they have of these AI chips, I think that's a fairly reasonable PE ratio on the stock myself. So, well, anyways,
and there's plenty of demand. So that's it's really more of a can they make enough, right? Versus versus there's been a supply and demand mismatch in the chip industry really since. Since COVID, whether you had electric vehicles using so many more chips than normal regular combustible engine vehicles, I mean, there's been countless stories in terms of the demand, and with NVIDIA, you would think that those go forward. We talk always talk about earnings transparency. Those earnings seem pretty solid given what the demand is out there.
Well, and it's always good to own stocks that have more demand that they can't meet the demand, and that would be still the case really with the weight loss drugs, which are in the news today. The FDA is evaluating reports of GLP-1 drugs and negative side effects. Okay, here's what they're listing so far. Now, let's not forget that these drugs have been in use for a long time as diabetes drugs. This isn't like something that's just hitting the market and we don't really know much about. But here's what these side effects are. Hair loss. Okay, would you rather have weight loss or hair loss? I don't know. Then these are just being...
I got a little bit of hair loss already, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes, I pull out my hair when I get on the scale. Suicidal thoughts, okay, and then we're going to get to a story next where they went and studied it and finding that there's no link between these suicidal... And aspiration issues, I guess motivation in certain users... and of course we're talking about Mounjaro, and we're talking about Zepbound, and we're talking about Wegovy and Ozempic. So the FDA, our FDA, is going to look into this. Now, a study, I'm trying to find out who did this study. According to analysis in Nature Medicine, the researchers found that neither Wegovy nor Ozempic were associated with the higher risk of suicidal ideation when compared with other weight loss or diabetes medications. So there doesn't seem to be a link there. The one that I seem to hear the most is making people sick. They can't handle maybe they have to use a lower dose, start off with the lower dose, because it does come in several doses, and usually they start, you start off at a very low dose and then you build up. But the few people that I've talked to didn't have that issue, and I have talked to some people that have had that issue. So anyways, there's a couple of competing studies there, one that the FDA is doing, and one that has been done on the suicidal thoughts. NVIDIA beginning mass production of China-focused AI chips. And this has got the NASDAQ all excited today. You know, when I checked the futures last night, and I saw that the Dow was down quite a bit, but then I said, that's all Boeing. And the NASDAQ has really taken off. We're having a huge day here so far today, and it seems to be the buzz around NVIDIA. And them now going into mass production, they had a lot of negotiations going back and forth, trying to get a chip that would come in under the new guidelines that the U.S. government has set. And apparently it's now in mass production. Now, when we come back, M&A, mergers and acquisition in the biotech space. That's the best place to look for, you know, some big winners there is some of these biotechs that are in play. There's four today when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll tell you what's in the air, M&A in the biotech space. Here's why you should be interested in this space. Johnson & Johnson to acquire Ambrex Biopharma for $2.8 billion. The symbol is AMAM. You know what? It's been one that I've been watching because it was ranked very high. You know, a biotech, I can't put a valuation on a biotech. So the app is going to measure its relative strength in any unusual action. Well, AMAM has been a B plus or better ranked stock for the last several weeks. You know, that's the stocks I look at, B plus or better on a daily basis. And today, I don't own it. AMAM is up, let's see, AMAM is up 98%. How'd you like, that's a double in one day.
and you ask yourself, you know, why would they pay something, you know, of that nature for it? Of course, you know, certainly overpaying a pretty significant premium. And the real reason why is, like you said, they need to fill up their pipeline, and they also... You know, they already have the, you know, huge marketing arm in terms of, you know, drug reps and a whole, you know, whole system of getting that that drug out there for
deeper
sale.
Pockets.
Yeah, the other, you know, the biotech is in the you know, in the business of developing the drug. They may not have the, you know, ability, say, to market it or sell it. They'd have to, you know, invest in a whole, you know, new platform to do that, and so it just makes it, you know, really it's essentially, you know, it's an R&D play, right? It's either they, you know, big pharma either develops a drug themselves with all the risks that are associated with it, or they just pay for one.
Well,
after it's proven to work.
Yeah,
right?
And I mean, Johnson & Johnson, a $385 billion company, $2 billion is pocket change, right? And yep. This is an important area. It's there's a new class of cancer drugs called antibody drug conjugates, ADC, and there's several in that industry. So I can guarantee you all the other ADC stocks are bouncing today. Pfizer recently paid $42 billion for Seagen, which is in that market, the old Seattle Genetics. And AbbVie recently bought one called Immunogen, which is also in that same market. So I'm sure there's some others that are moving today. Now, in addition to this, Merck is trying to become relevant again. Merck has not really been relevant for quite some time. They're going after the weight loss area, but today they acquired an immunotherapy developer, Harpoon Therapeutics. Why is it good to look for stocks that are seeing unusual activity? Harpoon is up 111% today. Okay, we don't own that one either. But it was another one that was a B-plus, I believe it was. Yeah, well, not really. Okay, it was, but it has had some unusual action in the technicals here recently. Yeah, it was number 457 at the beginning of December, so it was on my list. But there was really nothing there other than there was unusual activity, relative strength. The relative strength was 98 on a scale of 1 to 99. And boom, today here comes Merck. What are they paying for this stock? They're paying only $680 million pocket change for Merck. Okay, now here's a third one. Boston Scientific is buying Axonics. Now, Boston Scientific is not exactly a biotech. It's more medical instruments. And this one is not as big a winner as the other two, but it is up 20% today. And Boston Scientific taking them out. And the fourth one, actually, I guess there was three today. There's three today. Those are the three. Now, here's a shot. Saudi Arabia lowered their price of crude oil to all regions around the world. You could say this is good news, but this is one of the worry. We've taken the government shutdown off the worry list, but the softness in China, which is indicative of a global economy softness. If people aren't buying from China, there's a problem in the rest of the world. If China is not buying oil, there's a problem in the rest of the world. And that's what Saudi Arabia is basically pointing to, is the softness in China. And so they've got some inventory building up on oil, and they're having a bit of a fire sale. Actually lowering their price. Okay, that's another thing that they can do. They've been cutting production, but now they're lowering their price because of in response to lackluster Chinese demand and increased global supply. So that's one of my big worries this year, is the slow economy in China. Now, on the opposite side, in that energy market, one of the areas to keep an eye on, nuclear energy. Because a lot of countries that were once against nuclear energy, I remember back in the 70s it was very popular to be no nukes, anti-nuke. That was the big thing before they became anti-crude oil and fossil fuels. But now nukes are kind of coming back into popularity because at the end of the day, it burns clean and it's very, very efficient. And this NuScale, which is the symbol is SMR, they're laying off a bunch of employees, which is not good news. But at the same time, there's a lot of people looking at their small-scale nuclear reactors that who was it recently that was going to run their AI on nuclear reactors? I think it was Google. So SMR is in the news today, even though they're laying people off, but they make a very interesting product in small scale. So in other words, not great big to run a state or a big region's electricity, but maybe a company, right, or a big manufacturing plant and things like this. Okay, there's a lot of retail in the news today because you've got the big conference going on in Orlando. That's the ICR conference, which is every year this time of year. So you've got a lot of companies that are reporting news in advance of that. The first one, First Watch, which is actually headquartered in Bradenton. Did you know that, Barry, the breakfast place? We've got one in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I did not know that they were actually in Bradenton. I've seen them move. You know, I think they used to be part of, I think they acquired a company as well. It was like maybe something Broken Egg. I don't know. But, yeah, we have First Watch here. I went to one in Florida.
There's one in Sarasota we go down to Sarasota. Well, anyways, they're acquiring 21 franchise restaurants in North Carolina, so they seem to be in growth mode. Papa John's issues solid guidance, plans to accelerate development in North America. Just what we need, more pizza places. That's a crowded field. Dutch Brothers, which is kind of coffee and donuts and whatnot, expects to open 150. I'm always looking for good growth stories. None of these really impress me that much, but they are wannabes and big growth stocks. Dutch Brothers, which I'm adding to my app today, and First Watch. Somehow I miss those. So we'll see how they stack up when it goes through, my valuation, the relative strength, how they've been performing, et cetera, and see what kind of rank these get. It takes about 2 or 3 days to get all of the numbers worked out and the arithmetic to work and then get a ranking. Potbelly says their same store sales doing better than expected. another one I'm not that fond of. Costco has their first store in 20 years that forms a union. Norfolk, Virginia, voted by a large majority to join the Teamsters Union, the workers there at Costco. So that's kind of, you know, there's been issues at Amazon. Starbucks has also had issues with the companies, certain ones, wanting to join unions. Lululemon continues to be probably the best bricks and mortar, I would say, out there. They boost their fourth quarter earnings outlook. I don't know what it is, but they continue to be, I'm going to call it the best bricks and mortar retail store in the business right now, in the market. Abercrombie & Fitch boost sales outlook ahead of ICR conference. That's one that has surprised me at how resilient it has been. Crocs rallies after guiding full year guidance above expectations. You know, they make those funny-looking shoes. One other one. Here's just one to keep your eye on, even though I'm not a fan. Disney made a massive golden cross, 50-day crossing above the 200-day last week. And, of course, it's been an underperformer for quite some time. Maybe that golden cross portends something better. We're going to look underneath the surface of the market when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you've got two stocks having massive impact on the market today. Boeing on the downside. Boeing was down more. It has come back a bit, but it is impacting the S&P 500 and the Dow. Boeing is down 6.9% right now. You know, how long will it take to figure out what caused the blowout on the plane? How many other planes are affected? Is just a one-off? It's going to be interesting to see where this eventually lands. But for now, you've got most of the 737 MAXs around the world grounded, which obviously is going to cause some travel issues. The other stocks that are on the downside today, the oil, the energy patch, with the surprising news out of Saudi Arabia lowering their oil prices. You've got Exxon down 3% today, Chevron down 2%, Baker Hughes down 4.1%, Halliburton down 4.4%. Not a good day at all in the energy patch, the worst performing sector in the market. The other stock that is impacting the market to the upside, especially the tech stocks, is NVIDIA, with the news that they're now in mass production of their AI or their high-speed chips. Whatever, they've left something out, whatever it is, that they've left out of the chips that they can't sell to China. They're now in mass production, and NVIDIA is up 4.7%, and it's got the whole NASDAQ excited. You've got AMD up 4.1%. You've got Broadcom up 2.4%. And then you've got the biggest winner in the QQQ is actually American Airlines for some reason. I don't know what they must have guided higher or something. They're up 5.2%. I'm going to call the stock of the day Arista Networks, which is ANET. You know, it's not one that gets a lot of publicity. It's kind of under the radar. But my radar is the beststocksnowapp.com, which is now the Apple version is out there, the Android version, the upgrade for the Apple version. You have to upgrade your current one. It's now on in the Android, back in the Google store. It's in the Apple store. And then the one I use most of the time is the web version, which is beststocksnowapp.com. And for whatever reason, I mean, the criteria has come together. This has been the number one ranked stock for quite some time in the app. I mean, look, out of 5,500, it's identified ANET as the number one stock in the market based on valuation and performance. Most quant systems out there, in fact, 99% of the quant systems that I've looked at take into account momentum and performance only. And I put in half a 50% weighting in my quant system, which obviously takes into account momentum and performance. But the other half is valuation, which is very important because performance looks in the rear view mirror. This is how the stock has been doing in the past against other stocks. We call that relative strength. We call that alpha. Okay. But the market is forward looking. And the only way to take a forward look with a stock is their earnings expectations. Now, you can't do that with biotechs. You can't do that with startups. Companies, young companies that aren't making money yet. So you can only take a look at momentum. So the app does also measure stocks that don't have earnings. But with companies that have earnings, taking a look forward at the target price is looking into the future. I guess that's kind of the crystal ball part of the app. And, of course, it's adjusted as earnings estimates change from time to time. And I just think that adds a potency to the overall ranking of the stock, because not only are you looking at a backwards look, but you're also giving as equal weighting to the future look. And, you know, you could try it out for yourself. It ranks sectors, it ranks asset classes, it ranks stocks within a sector. If you like a sector, what are the top stocks in the sector? And one of my goals this year is to maybe divide the sectors up a little bit, subdivide, especially the big ones. The drug sector and the tech sector are the two biggest sectors. And maybe I'll do some subdivisions in those sectors. But other than that, man, I use the app every day. I've got 1,027 charts to look at today, which is a very high number because the market is still overbought. And it has to still work off some excess in both being overbought, overexcited, irrational exuberance, overvalued. It needs to stay at the gym for a little while, maybe through the month of January, to work off some of the excess fat that it took on during the month of December. But having said that, I'm seeing plenty of opportunities out there right now. All right, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, which has our portfolios and our macro outlook and our target price for the S&P 500 every week, go to GundersonCapital.com. I don't know how it would be difficult to navigate the market without somebody out there that's giving what I consider to be good guidance, honest guidance based on numbers, no bias. And secondly, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us to discuss the portfolios that I manage here at Gunderson Capital Management, we had a very good year in 2023. And Barry can talk to you about that. Give us a call to set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Well, it's going to be a busy week. The CPI report coming in this week, that's inflation. That impacts the multiple of the market. But even more important than that, I think, is going to be the beginning of earnings season on Friday.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing PPI as well, because that kind of gives us a glimpse into future potential inflation. So.
And obviously we don't expect inflation to be a big issue in 2024. We expect earnings to be a much, much more important criteria than inflation this year. Okay, this is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.